Well, this evening we come in chapter 14 of Leviticus. We come to the final instructions given to the Lord's people for dealing with the plague of leprosy. We've seen so far how the disease could spread through a person's body, spread to a person's garments, but also how they could be purified and allowed back into the camp if they were healed and cleansed. And so now, in the latter half of chapter 14, the final instructions concern leprosy spreading through a person's home. And these instructions have been left until last because they only come into play once Israel enters the promised land and settles there. The other instructions that we've looked at over the past few weeks, instructions for diagnosis, instructions for clothing and instructions for cleansing, they could all be implemented in the wilderness. But in the wilderness, the people were dwelling in tents. They were moving around. The camp moved around. But these laws, this final section here, were looking ahead to when they crossed the Jordan and began to build cities and to build permanent houses to dwell in. And so what we find here in this final part is a very similar process to what we've seen before when the symptoms of the plague were found on people's skin or on their clothing. First we see that the house was to be emptied and the priest was called in to examine it. And if the plague was ingrained deeply into the walls and there was a red or green colour, well, the house was to be shut up for 7 days. And this could have been fungal growths or mildew or dry rot or maybe even termite infestation that had affected the house. So the house was to be shut up for 7 days, and then after 7 days, the stones that had been affected with the plague were to be taken out of the structure of the building. And they were to be taken outside the city to an unclean place. And then all the dust was to be scraped off the interior of the house and was also to be dumped outside the city. And then other stones were to replace the ones which had been removed, stones that weren't infected by plague. And then the entire interior of the house was to be replastered after being scraped. So that's what was to happen. But if the plague returns after this, the priest was to declare the house unclean and the entire house was to be broken down and all its remains to be carried outside the city. There was to be no trace left of it. And while the house was quarantined, it was contagious as well. And we see in verses 46 to 47, that anyone who entered it and lay down in it had to wash and was unclean. But if the plague doesn't spread after the house is replastered, well, the priest shall pronounce it clean. And then the same process was to be carried out that was carried out for a leper that had been pronounced clean. Two birds were taken, some cedar wood, scarlet and hyssop, and one of the birds was killed over an earthen vessel and its blood was mixed with running water. And then the priest would take the cedar wood, the scarlet and the hyssop and use them to sprinkle the blood and the water over the house. And it was pronounced clean. And then the second bird was dipped in that blood and was released. So that was the process for a house that had been infected by some sort of leprous plague. It was to be everything was to be stripped out of it. The walls were to be stripped back. The stones were to be taken out, and then it was to be redone, and then to see after that if the plague spread or not. And if it didn't, it was clean and the atonement was made by the sacrifice of the birds. So what lessons can we learn in this final section of the law concerning leprosy? Well, first of all, actually, in verse 34, we have a great reminder of the sovereignty of God. It says, "When you have come into the land of Canaan, which I give you as a possession, and I put the leprous plague in a house in the land of your possession." Who are all these things attributed to? It's the Lord who does it all. Just imagine those 7 days. Imagine that time afterwards, waiting to see if the plague would grow back or not. What an anxious time for a family. Their home might be getting knocked down. They might end up homeless. Maybe they would have lived there for years. And then the plague comes, and that's it. They try their best, but it comes again. And that's their home. Move on. And who is it that brings everything to pass in this? It's the Lord. The people owed not just their lives and their bodies, but even their dwelling places, everything they had, to the Lord. Everything we have is His. And He can do as He pleases with us and with all that we have. He gave them the land of Canaan. And He exercises His sovereignty over all of creation. Our God is the God who brings the harvest, but who brings the famine, who brings the flood, who brings the drought, who brings health, and who brings the plague as well, as we see here. He wounds, He heals, He gives, He takes away. He has marked out all of our paths and whatever we will meet on them. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 39, says, the Lord says, "Now see that I, even I, am He, and there is no God besides me. I kill and I make alive, I wound and I heal, nor is there any who can deliver from my hand." And then, again, further on in the Old Testament, in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 45, verse 7, the Lord says, "I form the light and create the darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things." He is in control of everything. But that doesn't make God the author of sin. Doesn't make God responsible for sin. Doesn't make God sinful. But it means that God foreordains all things that happen. And He is even in control of all sinful acts that take place. And He is able to use sin sinlessly for His own purposes. And the fact that there was plague in this new land, this land flowing with milk and honey, was also susceptible to plague. And the fact that it was there pointed to the fact that this wasn't the final destination for the people of God. There was better yet to come. And so, this entering and conquering the land of Canaan wasn't an end in and of itself, no. It was pointing forward to the heavenly country that all the Lord's people, redeemed by Christ's blood, will enter. And that land will be perfect. There will be no plague in that land, my friends, because there will be no sin in that land. But Jesus Christ will be there. And all His people with Him, and He will not have lost one of them. The second thing we see in this passage, in these verses, is that leprosy could spread to households. The disease could go beyond a person, could go beyond their own garments, and it could spread to the very walls of a house. My friends, sin does exactly the same thing. Sin spreads. Sin spreads beyond us. You might think that your sin is secret. It's not. It's spreading beyond you to the walls of your house. It is having an effect upon those near you, whether you can see it or not. Our sin is there, and it has an effect beyond anything we can imagine in our homes, in our church. The priest came and the furniture was removed. There was no hiding the plague. There was no bit of rot that they could push something in front of. There was no carpet they could lay down over the floor. It was all taken out. And likewise, when the Lord comes, he searches our hearts. All is stripped away. All the froth, all the things we put up, all our good deeds that we try to hide before, try to hide our sins with. He cuts right through it all. His light exposes our own darkness. And so your secret, darling sins are having an effect upon your own family and upon your church family. The Lord sees and knows them all. And if they are not dealt with, they will find you out. And they will bring your house down. They will bring it down. The third thing we see in this passage is that just as leprosy spreads to households, and just as sin spreads to households, so does grace. Grace also spreads to households. And we see that in the cleansing of the home. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ changes not only individuals, but it changes entire households and families. Imagine a family watching the priest cleanse their home. There's been that anxious time. The house has gone through quarantine. It's been stripped back. What a job in that. New bricks in, new stones, new plastering all over. And then the waiting. Will the plague creep in again? Will it come? But no, it doesn't. The decay is gone. The rot really has been removed. And the blood and the living water has been sprinkled upon their home. And the other bird is released and flies heavenward. And that bird was dipped in blood. And as it flies, there's blood and there's living water spraying everywhere over that whole situation. Salvation has come to this house. The plague is gone. And that's how God works in families. He removes households from the dominion of sin. And he sets his throne in that house. I think of my own family and think of how the Lord has worked graciously in our lives, how he first brought my grandparents to faith in Christ, then their children, and then their children's children, of which I am one. You know, we are far more individualistic than God is. God's not satisfied with individuals. God desires households and families for himself. He makes covenant promises to generations and generations. He desires to show mercy to 1,000 generations of them that love him and keep his commandments. He comes and he gives entire households a new Godward disposition. But when he comes, there's a lot of changes that have to be made in our lives. Our individual lives and our family life. A lot of old bricks have to be taken out. A lot of dust has to be scraped away. But the Lord comes and he does that work in us. Sanctification, the process whereby God more and more enables us to die unto sin and live unto righteousness. The process where God makes us holy and conforms us to the image of Christ. It's a messy and it's a painful work. rotten sins are plucked out. Old sins and habits are scraped away. And we live in a new way. We raise our families in a new way. It's like we considered in Colossians a couple of months back in chapter 3, where it's putting off the old self, putting on the new self. We rid ourselves of these former ways, these sinful ways, and instead we put on the virtuous ways of Christ. That's what's happening. There's new bricks in the buildings of our lives. There's new plaster work. It's amazing what can be done, that we can be completely transformed. My dad's actually a plasterer, and I've been on a few jobs with him, and it's amazing how an old patch of wall can be stripped right back to the bricks. It can look so messy, and then with a few coats of plaster, you wouldn't have known it. You wouldn't have known what was behind there before. But the builders go in, they take out the rot, they take out the damp, the new things go in, it's plastered over, and it looks as good as new. So we live in a new way. We raise our families in a new way. We raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord. There's new routines in our households. Church becomes a non-negotiable part of the week. Family worship is a daily routine. Old habits have been removed from the house. Satan and sin have lost dominion there, and Jesus Christ becomes the centre. Over in Genesis 35, Jacob desired to do this with his family. It says there, "And Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, 'Put away the foreign gods that are among you, purify yourselves and change your garments. Then let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make an altar there to God, who answered me in the day of my distress and has been with me in the way which I have gone.'" And of course, we know what Joshua says in Joshua chapter 24. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." But God has a desire not only for clean people, not only for clean households, but for a clean environment for them as well. This plague came to people's dwelling places because the effects of the fall extended beyond humanity. The effects of the fall extended to all of creation. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." And so, the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ restores not just people, but all of creation. And one day he will return and will bring about complete cosmic renewal. And a cleansed leper with cleansed garments living in a cleansed house is all pointing forward to that. To that great day when he will be declared as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and acknowledged so by every living creature. And he has done that work, and he is bringing that to fulfillment, to completion, as he builds his church now, as he comes by his Spirit, as he anoints the preaching of his word, as he convicts people of their sin and unrighteousness, and as he changes lives, changes families, and comes and claims not just individuals but households for himself. So my friends, these are the laws of leprosy. Where sin abounded, grace abounded all the more. That disease just came, it took over, destroyed lives, caused so much mayhem, it caused people to be isolated, to have lives of misery. And We weren't just helpless victims. We brought that on ourselves and our own sin. We desired that. We wanted that. We didn't want God. But he provided that way of cleansing, that way that comes from him alone. Nothing we could do to get rid of it. Just like the leper could do nothing, cleansing just had to come. And then the sacrifices and atonement affirmed it. Likewise, God, through his Son, through his sacrifice, brings the cleansing to us. And so, there is cleansing. It's cleansing for sinners. And these promises extend to their children, to their children's children. And so we come to Christ, we raise our children in Christ, we live all of our lives for the glory of Christ. And he has all the glory as the one who has brought that cleansing through his flowing wounds. Amen. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord our God, you are the great physician, and we come to you acknowledging that we are guilty, sinful lepers who are helpless in and of ourselves. And we look to you alone for that redemptive work to be applied to us, that we might be forgiven and healed and cleansed and made fit for the presence of a holy God. O Lord, you are holy. And we confess that we have not grasped this enough. We do not fully understand how holy you are. And we live our lives each day so casually and with so little regard for your holy name. We ask that you would forgive us and that you would impress deeper upon our hearts and minds what a great and majestic and pure and holy God you are. We thank you for the cleansing work of Christ, and we pray that you would help us to no longer live as lepers, and that we would no longer run our households as lepers ones, but that those that have been cleansed and sprinkled, whereby we now do all with your very presence in our midst. O Lord, we ask for your protection upon family life and family values these days in our land. We ask that you would turn the tide of the way things are going in governments and councils and in schools. We ask that you would come in mighty power and that you would make your word and your law known, that people would look on and would see the beauty and the goodness of the way you have created all things, and we would desire not to step beyond the boundaries that you have set in place for humanity. Oh Lord, please have your way with us in our own lives as a church and as a nation, that we would be a people singularly owned by you and set apart for your glory. We ask your blessing upon us this night, you would go before us, and that we would know your presence and your help as we seek to live our lives for you each day. So we ask these things in our Saviour's name. Amen. Let us now sing Psalm 91 in the Scottish Psalter. Psalm 91, which you can find on page 352. Psalm 91, and we'll sing verses 9 to 14. Because the Lord, who constantly my refuge is alone, even the Most High is made by thee thy habitation. No plague shall near thy dwelling come, no ill shall thee befall. For thee to keep in all thy ways, his angels charge he shall. They in their hands shall bear thee up, still waiting thee upon, lest thou at any time shouldst dash thy foot against a stone. Upon the adder thou shalt tread, and on the lion strong, thy feet on dragons trample shall, and on the lion's young. Because on me he set his love, I'll save and set him free. Because my great name he hath known, I will him set on high. We'll sing verses 9 to 14 to God's praise.